I just want to welcome you to our midweek message. And I have the privilege of introducing a very good friend, somebody I hold in very high regard, Lynn Packer. And Lynn has had a lot of experience in developing and helping people develop in the prophetic. She convenes the New Zealand Prophetic Network, which is a whole web-based platform which has helps release prophetic words that come up through the nation and out to the nation. She helps convene and run the School of Prophets, Aotearoa. Her and Rob are involved in online mentoring with prophetic people, have done for some time. Lynn's had around the 30 years of experience in helping coach and develop and teach in the prophetic. So tonight you're going to hear from a lady who's had a lot of experience, a recognized prophetic voice in New Zealand and in other parts of the world, and a good friend, a highly respected person by Janet and I. We have the wonderful privilege of having Rob and Lynn part of Living Waters Christian Centre here in Christchurch. And I want to really commend this word to you both and also some teaching she's going to bring around it. So I'll just turn over, hand over to Lynn in a minute or two. I just want to say this one more thing. Just for Living Waters Christian Centre people, obviously you would have heard government announcements over the last 2 days and some shifts and changes as various church leaders and other politicians have petitioned the government actually on the meeting levels. And there's been some shift, but not as much shift as we would have liked. So for Living Waters Christian Centre, we'll be live streaming in our normal way over the next foreseeable few weeks. But what we do encourage people to do is invite people to your place, especially people who are a little bit more isolated, and make up to a group of up to 10, and to hang out together, watch the live stream together on a Sunday morning, and then fellowship, maybe pray for each other, whatever. And so we can do groups of 10 in homes, and therefore be gathering the church just that little bit more. So if you're able to think about that and prayerfully consider that, that would be much appreciated. So just a bit of an announcement for Living Waters Christian Centre people. So it's my pleasure tonight to hand over to Lynn Packer. God bless you, Lynn, as you come in and share the word and teach around it. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be with you tonight, Wes, and thank you for that beautiful introduction. I'm going to get straight into it. I've had a word on my heart for about the last 8 months, and I have shared bits of it, and it's a short word, but it's a word that I think is a very important word for what God is doing in the church right now. And that word is that God is calling his people to walk as holy people in the world that we live in. That there is, the Lord told me a few months ago that he's dropped a plumb line of holiness in the church, and that people's lives are being weighed against that, not in a judgmental way, but in a way that is bringing them into alignment. And we're hearing prophetically a lot at the moment about reset and alignment. And this word is one of those alignment words, that God is calling us to live as holy people. But when I say that, immediately some things will pop into people's minds. Oh my goodness, here we go, another prophet saying we've got to be holy. That'll come into some people's minds. Oh my goodness, she's saying I have to try harder. That's something that will also come into people's minds, unfortunately. Or she's saying I've got to try and avoid sin, and or I've got to be a better Christian. And those are all, unfortunately, things that we've been taught about holiness, but they're actually not what the word says. And so tonight I want to give you a little bit of a biblical foundation, a new covenant foundation of what it means to live and walk as a holy people. So if we look at those things that I just said, I'm going to be working from some notes tonight because I'm not really good at remembering a whole pile of information. So I'm one of those preachers, teachers that has to work from notes. So please forgive me in that. But when we talk about sin avoidance, when we talk about trying harder to be a better Christian, etc., when we put those things and marry those things with the word holiness, there's a problem with that. Because God is holy, and it doesn't describe a God that is holy, sin avoidance and trying harder to be a better something. So what is holiness, and what does it mean for God to be holy? When you look in scripture, the fact that God is holy, that's our starting place for understanding holiness. And God was holy long before there was any sin to avoid. He was unblemished long before there were blemishes, sinless long before there was sin. God lacks nothing. He is unbroken, undamaged, unfallen, completely complete, and entire within himself. He's the picture of wholeness and perfection. And when the angels sing, "Holy is the Lord," they're not admiring him for his rule-keeping or his sin avoidance. They're marveling at the wonder, the matchless totality of his perfection. So when scripture says that God is holy, it's actually referring to the wholeness, fullness, and perfection of God, and the abundant life that overflows within the Godhead. So to worship God in the beauty of his holiness is to be awestruck by that. It's to be in wonder at this amazing God who is so beautiful and perfect and complete and whole. So holiness isn't just one aspect of God's character. It's the total package. And when we look at the word holy, we notice that that word's an adjective. It's a describing word. It describes him and how he lives out who he is. So therefore we can say the love of God is a holy love, and it's the whole unrestrained love of the Trinity spilling over onto mankind and into the hearts of humanity. His righteousness is a holy righteousness, an unforced flow of right actions that comes from someone who is in such harmony with himself that he's incapable of acting any other way. So that's what a holy God is like. Whole, complete. Then how does that apply to us? What does it mean for us to be told, be holy? If we've been born again, scripture tells us that we are a new creation. We're given a new nature and a new heart. And if you're a new creation, scripture also tells us that you are now one with the Lord. So you've been made complete and whole in God. Hebrews 10:14 tells us this, "And by his one perfect sacrifice, he made us perfectly holy and complete for all time." Not he will make us holy when we die, but he made us. In his sacrifice on the cross, he made us perfectly holy and complete for all time. And Colossians 2:10 says this, "For in him, Christ, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. And in him you have been made complete." Wow. We are made complete in Christ. We've been made holy. Holiness is not something we have to try and get. It's not something we have to try and earn by our behavior. It's something that Christ did for us. He made us holy and righteous in him. We know, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if we are in Christ, we've been made a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So God credits us with the perfect righteousness of Christ. Righteousness is not earned. Holiness is not earned. It's received. We don't have to do anything to get it. When I got that revelation, it was like, oh my goodness, it changed everything. Because no matter how much I tried, I couldn't make myself holy. Only Christ could do that. And only Christ can do that for any of us. So you don't have to try and become holy. Jesus made you holy already. So scripturally, holiness is your state of being. It's the state of being whole and complete. And even if you look holiness up in the dictionary, that's what it defines it as, the state of being holy. Jesus gives us a picture of a whole and holy life, unbroken and unstained by sin. Everything Jesus does is prefaced and wrapped around in his wholeness and in his holiness. It's a holy love, a holy righteousness, a holy joy. He promises us life in all its fullness. That's holiness. That's a life of holiness. Life in all its fullness. Nothing broken, nothing missing, complete, whole. So holiness is really the very definition of what an abundant life looks like. And that's the life that he's given us. So in Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And if you're anything like me, for years I read that and I thought, there we go, Jesus is commanding me, I've got to try and be perfect. But when I began to dig into that verse, when I got the revelation of what holiness actually is and the scriptural understanding, not just the revelation, but the scriptural understanding of what new covenant holiness is, when I looked that up, that word perfect means complete or whole. So Jesus is saying, be complete or whole as your Father in heaven is whole. And that is a benediction. That is his gift being poured into our life, not him commanding us to try and become something. It's a pronouncement over us about our state of being. When Jesus said to people in scripture, be healed or be made whole, he wasn't telling them to try and go and get healed. When he said, be healed or be made whole, they were healed on the spot at the moment, or in one case, as they walked away from him, they were healed. It wasn't something they had to try and do. It was him releasing his power at that moment for that transaction to take place and make them something. So when Jesus is saying, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, he's not saying try hard, go out and do your very best to become perfect, because you'll never make it. You can't make yourself perfect. What he's saying is, in this statement, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect, I release the power to transform you and to bring you from one state of being into another. Wow, that's huge, eh? And you know, I've heard Christians, and I've even heard ministers sometimes say that, you know, you're never really going to become holy till you die. You're never really going to become perfect till you die, until you're in heaven. And I understand what they're saying. They're saying that the fullness of it may not come till then. But the reality is, if we don't become perfect until we die, then death is the agent of transformation in our life. Death is what gives us perfection or holiness, not Jesus. And that's not what scripture tells us. Death doesn't give us anything except translation from this life into the rest of our life. Death can't transform us, but Jesus does. So you have been made holy in Christ. You know, Jesus changed our state of being from sinful and broken to whole or holy. There's loads of verses that say that we're complete, whole and righteous. 1 Corinthians 1:2 is one of them, if you're taking notes. Ephesians 4:24 is another one. 2 Timothy 1:9. Romans 6:2. And there's a pile more in there as well. So when the New Testament writers exhort us to be holy, they're not telling us try hard. They're exhorting us to be who we truly are. They're exhorting us to live from our new covenant reality, our new state of being, that of being holy, not trying to become something. You know, if you think you've got to try and become holy, you'll spend your whole life chasing something you can't achieve. You know, you are holy, and God is calling us to live out of our holiness, to walk as holy people in the world that we live in. You know, our Christian walk is not one of trying to become holy, but one of learning how to live out of the holiness that we've been gifted in Christ. Holiness is not just about having good morals or making right choices. That's so far below the meaning of holiness that it's actually quite cringeworthy. And it doesn't do the church justice, and it doesn't do what Jesus did justice. Yet it's what many of us believe. You know, I love this quote from Rick Joyner. He said, "Jesus is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus is everything we are called to be. We can only fulfill our calling to walk as holy ones by abiding in him." And that's how we do it. But you know, the reality is we're going to make some dumb decisions in life. We're going to make some mistakes. We're going to do some things that don't line up with who we are. But yet, you know, the Holy Spirit and Scripture tells us that with every temptation, Christ makes a way for us to escape that temptation. He makes a way for us to, he can give us strategy. He makes a way of escape from that. So the call that God is currently issuing isn't one of us thinking we have to try and become holy. It's not one of saying you've got to work harder, you've got to try harder, you've got to try and become something. It's one of God saying, hey, this is who you are, be it. It's actually that simple. It's actually that simple of when temptation comes, saying, Jesus, what's your strategy to get out of this? What's your strategy in this situation? Sometimes that strategy is as simple as turning and walking away. Sometimes that strategy is saying no, but then looking at the reasons why we felt we needed to do that or wanted to do that in the first place. What lies were we living out of that we believed about ourselves that made this thing seem so tempting to us? And as you talk that out with Holy Spirit, he will show you and give you strategy for how to walk as a holy person in the world. You know, I love the fact that God doesn't call us to something he hasn't already provisioned us for. God does not call you to live a life that you are not provisioned for. In 2 Peter, there's a verse, I think it's 2 Peter, I got sidetracked on my notes, I'm sorry. But it talks about that God gave us his promises so that we could become partakers of the divine nature. That's what you become a partaker of when you accepted Christ. You became a partaker of the divine nature. You were joined in oneness with him. His nature is now yours to live from. And it's a life of learning. How do we do that? How do we walk in line with who we are? You know, most of what we face as temptations and things like that are, our responses to them are habitual responses that are changed by learning how to walk a different way, learning how to live differently. They're habits that need breaking, habitual response patterns that have been established in our lives over years. But the reality is, if you are in Christ and you are committed to him and you are committed to growing in him, then those things are really fading echoes of an old life. They are no longer who you are. You are righteous and you are holy. And today, God is calling us to live and walk in this world as those who are holy, those who are righteous, those who walk exhibiting the nature and character of God in a world that sorely needs to see the love, the nature, the character, and the power of God at work. Will it always be easy? No. Nothing in life is guaranteed to be easy. But you have the Holy Spirit to help you. And all you need to do is ask. And if you lack wisdom, all you need to do is ask. So I hope that gives you a little bit of a foundation. I hope that gives you a little bit of understanding that as a Christian, you are holy. You don't have to spend your life striving to try and become it. All we need to do is learn how to walk out our holiness. One of the things that I have done and found helpful for myself over as I was learning to walk this out was a couple of questions, and I'll leave you with this. A couple of questions that I used. Is this in line with who I am now in Christ? This situation, this temptation, this thing that I'm thinking through, is this in line with who I am now in Christ? And the other question, does this serve me in my desire to walk as a new creation, in my holiness? How does this serve my wholeness? And if it doesn't serve you and your holiness, don't serve it, because it's not worth serving. So bless you, and thank you for being with me tonight. I'm not quite sure what we're doing now, whether we're going back to Wes or whether we're just finishing here. But let me pray for you just as we finish. Father, I thank you that you have done such an incredible work in what Christ did on the cross, that you and Christ together did a work that brought us from our state of being in sin, and you made us holy. Father, I thank you for each person watching this, for each person who has felt like they've been condemned because they haven't felt like they've been a good enough Christian. Father, I ask that the truth would set them free tonight, that they would go on the inside as a realization that they've been made holy in you and don't have to strive, but can simply ask you for wisdom and how to walk. Father, I pray that in that you would set them free. And for those of you that might be watching that don't know Jesus, this life is offered to you, an abundant life that is full of goodness, an abundant life that is full of walking as a holy, complete, whole person in this world. And you don't have to wait till you die to become it. So you too can know Christ. All you have to do is tell him that you want to know him. Wes, I'll hand back over to you right now. Thank you.
That's excellent, Lynn. That is really wonderfully liberating. And I just love the way you brought that out and the way you developed that understanding. It is an absolutely crucial understanding that I believe more and more in the body of Christ are laying hold of.
Yeah.
And it is liberating. It is empowering, and it releases us from the treadmill of guilt and fear of punishment
and shame,
the insecurities, the shame, the fear of rejection. It releases us from so much.
Yeah.
And it actually liberates us into a place of being empowered.
Yes. Very
and
much.
I think it's a profound understanding that I'm so glad that you've been able to develop that so beautifully. I really am. So sorry about that alarm going there.
I wasn't sure if it was you or me.
I couldn't turn it off. God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you so much, Lynn. Thank you, team, production team, for hosting this tonight. God bless you.